Sunday night in a rather nondescript church in North Oxford. And like the hero of a horror film who slowly discovers that all of his acquaintances are zombies, I found out that a good number of my friends were suddenly busy every Sunday night, and that their smiles began to lack sincerity, and the girls stopped having sex, and the boys stopped having fun. This was the Alpha Course, but there were a number of other very similar charismatic evangelical movements, Hillsong Christianity Explored, which held themselves out as a rational, philosophical way into faith, and are actually highly punitive, theologically unsound, and centred around such bizarre practices as faith healing and speaking in tongues. I'd been wanting to write about these guys for a long time, and so when Faber asked me what my second novel was going to be about, I told them the story that it was going to be the story of a group of young people in this very British, class-obsessed and money-hungry cult, and what happens over the course of a weekend retreat. I also was obsessed by Donna Tartt's The Secret History, which some of you may have read, and kind of wanted to write my own version of it. One thing when I was researching the novel that really drew me in was this idea of speaking in tongues, was this idea as a writer of these people trying to find a way that was beyond language to express something that they clearly felt very sincerely. And I'm just going to read a passage about the time that many of the people on this weekend retreat find themselves speaking in tongues for the first time. And in fact, do you know what? I might, because it's relatively quiet, I've got people speaking on tongues on my phone. And I'm just going to try and play it as some background. And if you can't hear it, I'm sorry, but it's just kind of nice. David stood trapped in the beam of light that fell upon the altar. His white shirt shone as he held his arms up to the roof, turned his head upwards and opened his mouth to sing. The light around him increased again until Marcus found it hard. Gosh, it's quite loud, that. The light around him increased again until Marcus found it hard to look at the priest. David began to shake in the light, his thin body stretched out, his long fingers reaching up to the sky. He started to chant, inserting his words rhythmically into the interstices of Abby's song. Way la la la, shanti shanti, le la la la. The music grew louder. Marcus and Mouse began to play, the drums and bass picking up the rhythms of the priest's song. The light came up on the stage, and Marcus blinked out over the audience. The course members in the congregation started singing along with Abby. All eyes were trained on the priest. The sound was beautiful, a language that hid its meaning behind the words that danced and swooped and shone around them. Sally shuffled past Philip and out into the aisle. She held up her hands towards her husband and began to speak in tongues, her eyes tightly shut, her head shaking violently from side to side as she moved in time to the music. The words, like the priests, seemed ripped from an ancient world, the chanting of a forgotten race. Marcus watched the Earl behind the lighting desk train the spot down the aisle. Mouse was the next to be seized by the spirit. He yelped and squealed, calling out in a high voice as he crashed his cymbals and rolled the snare. Abby fell down on her knees. She tried to keep singing the words of the song, but possessed, strange phrases fell from her lips. She twitched like a compass needle and held her hands up to the sky, shaking them in trembling ecstasy. The twins were the first of the new members to let themselves go. The girls blew out their candles and made their way into the aisle to join Sally. Ellie took her sister by the hand, held it upwards and began to scream. Alice lifted her own voice alongside that of her twin. Slowly their words came through. The screaming softened into the beauty of the tongues. Sally wrapped her arms around them and hugged them to her chest as they laughed and chanted. Marcus had never spoken in tongues. He had not been able to give himself up to the spirit during the first retreat, and ever since he had found the whole process faintly embarrassing. As he played his guitar, he yodeled every so often, trying to copy David's voice as closely as possible. He would have liked to have been able to abandon himself the way Abby did, rolling on the floor at